I saw used to grind the meal for the pigs. Mm. I thought, let's get that. That's going back to 68. And, you know, but this is something I've always done. As kept a diary of the day's work and what we do. You know,
good idea.
And if somebody said to me, "What do you do on October the 7th on 2003?" Well, I've got it here. Or what did I do on September the 28th, 1994. I've got it here.
What a wonderful record. I shouldn't think there are many farms that have got that.
Well, see, this one actually goes back to 1968. Like.
Mm.
Yeah. And, when I planted sugar beet or ground a meal or sprayed or done anything, it's always so put it down.
Has your farming changed? Did you make any changes?
Yeah, I did make a change. I don't know if it's relevant if you want to hear about it, but 97 I had a bit of a heart problem.
Mm.
Oh. So I thought, what do I do? So that year, my son wasn't about, he was in college, and I cut a long story short, I had to get a contractor in to take the sugar beet up for me.
Mm.
And by the time I paid the contractor his bills, I didn't get anything out of the crop. So I changed my policy and I went to growing beans, which, as we said, you've got one machine, you've got a combine harvester, you can sit on there and do that, you know, no too much hassle.
Mm-hmm.
So then, like a lot of farms, the last 6, 7, 8 years, I packed the beans up and went into growing all seed rape.
Oh.
All seed rape, wheat, and barley. You know, the 3-year rotation, and that way.
Mm.
Last year wasn't a very good year for all seed rape last year.
Mm.
But apart from that, the main thing is I'm here to tell the story.
Well, yeah.
That's what I enjoy it. I mean, I've got. As long as I keep going, I've got no intentions of backing up.
Mm. Let's go back to your childhood, and because you were born before the war. Well, no, you were born...
I was born during the war.
During the war, weren't
you? I was born, actually, when the Germans were bombing Coventry. That's what Mother tells me.
Mm.
Yeah. And Father was in the Home Guard, you see, because... I think they've got it. Father was in the Home Guard because the food producers, they got exempt from service, didn't they?
Mm.
Yeah. So Father was in the Home Guard. And he was out on patrol with one or two other chaps in the village. And in those days, there wasn't any phones. No mobile phones. So anyway, the mother, obviously, in labour. She was in labour, shall we say. And she's sent somebody out to find Father, who was out on patrol, and to come home. And so what did he do? He came home, and then he had to go up and get the doctor. You know, there was no ringing up in those days. And that was that. And I was actually born down to Silver Street in the village.
Mm.
I say 1940.
So you've lived here all your life now, haven't you?
Mm. Yeah.
Did your father before you live here all his life?
Yeah.
And grandfather?
Yeah.
Yes, you see, you're real.
Real bowl, all hard. But the mother...
Sons of the soil here.
Yeah. Mother, she was actually born... Because she was born at King's Lynn.
Because
grandmother used to... grandmother was in service in King's Lynn. And then... So that's where Mother and Uncle Reg and Auntie Helen were born. Then Grandad, on Mum's side, he used to be on the British Rail, and somehow he got seriously injured and he died. So then Mother, Grandmother and the family moved to Burwell, where they had connections on third cousins, etc. So she came here and remarried and in Burwell.
Mm.
You know, so we are actually 100% Burwell. The whole family.
You've got your roots here, I think you could say, couldn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
You mentioned about the war in Burwell.
Yeah.
And it did have an effect on your particular land,
yeah,
didn't it?
Yeah.
Can you talk about that?
Yeah, yeah. Father has always, he's told me these stories, about there used to be the regular service trains going from Cambridge to Milton Hall, sort of 7 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock, then a goods train at 10 o'clock, a passenger at 11, back at 12, goods during the afternoon, then passenger train from Cambridge to Milton Hall at 5, then back at 6. Routine. Anyway, in between, I'm not exactly sure of the time, but during the morning, there was another train came through, which afterwards they learnt was there was a lot of personnel going to RAF Milton Hall. And that's the only train that the Germans managed to pick out and had a go at bombing.
Did they succeed?
Sorry?
Did they succeed in bombing it?
No.
Ah.
No. No, they kept going. They kept going. But, that you know, it's that's the only one they picked out. And they knew which one to pick out. Mm. You know. As Father said, that was probably plane was about, you know, don't know, but anyway, they managed to pick that one out, which is the one which got the RAF personnel going to Milton Hall.
Mm.
And then he told me another story about the planes that used to be on Newmarket Heath. In actual fact, some of the hangars are still up there.
Mm.
He said there were some planes coming over, and one was quite low, and that had to jettison its bombs to gain height to get over the hill and over the trees to get onto Newmarket Heath. And then, I don't know how long after, but the RAF and powers that be came and gathered these bombs up. But unfortunately, there was no compensation because it was an act of war, you see. And you could still actually see where the bombs dropped, because it disturbed the soil structure, and where there's chalk coming up, you know, you can still see. It's quite amazing, really.
Mm.
You know,
mm. Yeah. Quite deep, I should think.
But as I said, it was an act of war.
Mm.
You
remember how the war affected you? Probably didn't affect you greatly in the country, did it?
No, well, no, didn't affect me no more than anybody else, I suppose, because we were always on food. Oh, I never thought I've got me still got me ration book.
Mm. Mm. Well, a lot of people have. I've got my parents. Mm.
Yeah.
Nice to have these things.
Yeah, and you know, but Slade Farm is home. It always will be.
Mm.
You know, and while I can keep doing it, I'm going to keep doing it.
Mm. So, where did you go to school then? You went.
I went to school at St Mary's Church School.
Mm. Did you have evacuees there? Can you remember?
I don't. Yeah, there is a story about because last October and 2 years ago we had your school reunions.
Mm-hmm.
I've got all the bump up in it up there, you know, and then from there. I went down to Bow Secondary Modern, and that is where I finished school at 15.
Mm.
You know, I got all my education.
And then you came straight on the farm, did you?
I came straight on the farm, yeah. I mean, in those days, we come back here. 1955, when I left school, 15.
Mm.
There wasn't the facilities for further education like there is now.
No.
You know, all right. You had the 11 pass to go to Soham, but that was it. There was, from 15 onwards, there wasn't much chance of further education, was there?
No.
You know. And then, as I said, that's where I finished. I finished left school at 15. Carried on with Dad for a couple of years. Yeah, I was 57. Then unfortunately father had a bit of an accident, and he was in hospital for some time. He had a shotgun damage on his arm.
Mm.
Yeah. He'd got a gun on a tractor, which was a silly thing to do. Everybody used to do it in those days, carry a gun on a tractor.
And what for?
What for?
Rabbits.
Well, more so pheasants than anything.
Oh, pheasants. Mm.
Yeah.
Just was anything on your land was yours, was it?
Yeah. Yeah, you've got the shooting right, yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And unfortunately, for some reason or other, I mean, excuse the saying, that's sod's law, that as he put his arm out, suddenly the gun went off. And he got the full charge in his wrist. He was lucky he didn't, well, we say, lucky he didn't lose his hand. Mm. And he was in hospital for a long, long time. And in those days, there wasn't the facilities to repair or mend limbs, what there is now, no. You know. Anyway, they saved it. And it was he couldn't hardly move it, and his capability or his was a bit limited what he could do then physically. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll give him his. He wouldn't be beaten, but he had to.
Were you too young to take over the farm?
Your
father did, didn't he?
Mm. Yeah, I was working with Dad, mm-hmm. So I was running the farm, you know, but he was making the decisions and what, and I was doing the physical work, mm. which I have done all my life, mm. for the last 60 years.
Mm. Mm.
60? No, not 60.
Happy life it's been.
Yeah. Happy life, it's yes. Great.
So you gave up the animals. How did the farming change then? You must have altered it when your father was... not quite so capable of doing things.
Yeah, we did alter them because it was more physical work in those days. I mean, when I was sort of 15, 16, but there was very few combine harvesters about.
Mm.
So what we do, there was the contractors in the village used to come around with the thrashing machines, which you've obviously heard of. And all the grain used to go in sacks. And man wasn't made. Wheat used to be 18 stone in a sack. Barley was 16 stone. Oats was 12 stone. And beans and tares or vetch, they were 20 stone. And not everybody, but you had to carry those on your back.
Good Lord.
There used to be a quote, which I've still got. I've still got the old stuff. A sack winder, you used to wind them up to shoulder high, put them on your back, and the water would put them on the lorry or a trailer. It was the only way to do it in those days.
I'm surprised at the difference in weights of the sacks.
Yeah, well...
Were they different size sacks?
No, they're the same size sacks, but things weigh different, you know, different weights in the grain and whatever. Yeah, that's like you having a handful of tomatoes or a handful of potatoes.
Yeah.
You'll get more tomatoes in a hand than you would a potato, mm. because the potatoes are heavier.
Mm.
You know, mm. and that's how it is.
So you were strong enough to carry all that in those days?
Well, that's how I struggled. But there was no other alternative. Everybody was the same. That was everything. Well, a lot of building sites. Everything was physical labour, wasn't it?
Mm.
I mean, if you'd got a load of bricks delivered... 500 bricks, you have to lift them off one by one. Didn't have the forklifts and lift them off on pallets and things like that.
Well, things have improved from that point of view.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm.
Yeah. And I'm glad it has improved. Not only for me, for the next generations, but it's nice to look back and say, oh, I used to do that. However did I do it?
Mm. You know, did.
It was a way of life.
What other changes did you notice? Came about because of your father.
What other changes? Was the actual growing of the crops was changed?
Mm. You change your crops.
Yeah, mm. Changed the crops because for a couple of years. He used to have a contract with Coleman at Norwich growing mustard, and I've got something here.
Oh, they're lovely.
Yeah.
How tall was the crop?
How tall? Th- 3 foot. Don't ask me in metres, because I don't know. About a metre and a half, shall we say.
Have you noticed a difference in the crops?
Oh, yeah.
The size of the crops, the height of the crops.
Yeah.
Over the time.
Yeah. Because crops today are grown not so much for the amount of straw, but for the grain.
Mm.
So they've actually, the plant breeders have made a shorter crop, you know, put more emphasis on the growing the grain more so than the straw.
Mm.
Which I think, you know, which is it, because years ago nearly every farm had some livestock, which most farms would use their own straw. Exactly. But now they're not, as straw is sometimes a surplus commodity.
Mm.
You know, they're using it for power stations and other alternatives, you know. So more, most of the grain crops are concentrated on the grain. You know, but so we're basically growing what the consumer wants. You know, barley, which I specifically grow, not only me but other farms. Some of us we grow for the malt, you know, for brewing, etc.
Yes.
You know, wheat, I grow a bread wheat. There's two or three different varieties, grades of wheat. You know, a feed wheat basically goes as animal feed and other food, but I'd personally go for a bread making wheat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, probably don't yield so much as the feeding quality, but you probably with a bit of luck you get a bit more premium.
Mm-hmm.
Just depends on supply and demand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So today you now grow oilseed rape.
Yeah.
Barley
and wheat.
Yeah. Mm. That's your three crops.
Yeah, they're the three crops, which are, say, in the 3-year rotation.
Yeah. All right.
You grow. 3-year
rotation. So, do you leave anything fallow?
Well, I have with the DEFRA quote, what used to be they call the set aside. I've got entry level margins, which means you leave, or you don't have to. But for the environment, you can leave a 3-4 metre strip around the hedgerows to go and plant with grass and get wildflowers growing and things like that.
Do you do that?
I do that, yeah, I do that. You plant and that gives encouragement for the wildlife. And
have you noticed a difference?
I personally, I'm not too despondent with the amount of wildlife I've got about and the wildflowers. I'm quite pleased, actually.
Nice.
You know, because, all right, you can intensive farm and goes on, it's always going to go on because you've got to grow for what the consumer wants and the more you can grow, the more, et cetera, but you've still got to make way for Mother Nature.
You have. Otherwise, it's a bit
and
dull.
Talking about Mother Nature, that brings back one of my father's sayings and grandfather's sayings. And their saying was, man can do a lot of things, but you can't beat Mother Nature.
No.
You know, you can build. I know. I'll build a something like that. Put 4 wheels on it and call it a motor car. I know. I'll bring a square and call it a television. Man can do that, but you can't beat Mother Nature. You can't stop it raining. You can't stop it snowing. You can't stop the wind.
No, you have to work with it, don't
you?
Yeah.
I mean, all the powers in Westminster saying all about the floods. I'm afraid you won't stop it. You might deter it somewhere, but you won't stop it.
Mm. Have you had any really bad years on the farm?
It's got me thinking. And I think probably one of the worst years we had, or I had, was 75, 76. If you can turn your clock back, we had a terribly hot weather.
Yes, I remember that.
Do you remember that? And normally, where beans in those days were probably talking about a ton an acre or a ton plus, I got 800 weight an acre. And it wasn't through mismanagement, it was the weather. There again, you can't beat
the weather. So what would you have got normally?
About a ton an acre.
And you got 800
weight. coming back, you can't beat Mother Nature, you see. No? But as I, well, you don't want to record this, but as I said, I've got no happy heart problem. I packed the sugar beet up.
So let's go back to the time when you had animals on the farm. Presumably you ate quite a few of them.
Well, oh, yeah.
You had plenty of fresh meat,
yeah,
didn't you?
Yeah.
And would they have been butchered locally? Yes.
Yeah.
So you supplied Burwell, did you?
Yeah. Well, what we done, we used to, as I say, you know, we used to have the cattle. The cattle used to go into Cambridge Market when they had a cattle market. Used to tell the local butchers, oh yeah, we'll go. And, you know, tell them when we're going to send it. And they used to buy them and bring it back to Burwell, you see. Because they were locally produced, etc., etc. Same with the pigs. Well, not the same, because father had a friend at Exon, he used to have pigs. And so what they used to do is Dad and George, we'll have a couple of pigs killed next week. So they used to put them in a trailer and take them to Bury St Edmunds to be slaughtered. And then bring them home, and father was pretty good. I mean, some people might like me, may not like me saying this, but father was pretty good with a knife, butchering, because his great-grandfather was a butcher. That was hereditary, you see.
Do he learn?
And I do. I like carving meat. Not being sadistic, but that is my life. You know. But some people, I mean, some people, the meat is on Tesco's counter, isn't it? Or whatever. That's their meat. You know, but we... And there was never any waste. I mean, I don't want to offend you, but Mother used to cook everything, all the cheeks, the trotters, everything, the whole lot. There was never any waste.
No.
You know.
Women in those days knew how to do it, didn't they?
Yeah. And as I said, it was a way of life, country way of life.
So, you'd go out in the fields. I mean, did you ever have horses, horse-drawn?
I'd showed you. I've got one photo.
It's just one photo.
Yeah, that's the only one I've got. That's the only one I could find at the moment. If I find any more, I can always get in touch with you. But I've got loads of photos, I'll show you. We have horses. We had Tommy and Short. Tommy's the one you've got on the photo, you know, and I remember sitting on Tommy. We was quite a way away on the harvest field. Sister Anne was here, she would verify this. And me being a young lad, I thought, I know what I'll do, I'll get on Tommy's back. And we was quite away from the farm. And me jumping on his back, that startled him. And he galloped all the way back up to the farm. And there was me hanging on. I didn't know what to do. I should always remember that. That's another thing that I should remember. You know, he knew where he was going. He thought, I'm not having this. So he thought, well, I'll run. And he'd got the cart behind him.
So those were days when you could have been quite self-sufficient, really.
Yeah, we were. Yeah, I mean, as I said, Mother used to have a few chickens for eggs, and we had pork, we had beef, she used to have turkeys, she used to grow her own potatoes, which I still grow a few potatoes, not commercially, but for the family, grow all her own vegetables, you know, I'm self-sufficient. Yeah.
That's good, isn't it?
Something else I'll do, I'll show you before you go.
Marvellous.
Yeah. Is that all right for a second?